Today I'm going to be talking on the Word, following up from last week. And there's only one thing that can mess up ourselves, which is us. It's when we get out of the will of the Lord and out of what God would have. But even in those moments when we do crazy stuff, guess what God does? He comes and picks us up and puts us right back on the right path. Last week I talked about the Word, and this week I have been running a lot, preparing for my marathon, and I was out running on Monday. I ran 18 miles, which is a long time. So I listened to the entire book of Genesis. Now, I see AJ over there. He's like, how do you listen to the Bible? When you're running, you need like something to pump you up. And sometimes certain parts of Genesis may not be a pump up sort of a thing, but I did. I was like, I'm going to do it. I listened to Genesis. And I decided that especially the part on the patriarchs and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all of their kids and all of their wives, and then all of their I don't even know what, their wives' assistants, basically, and just crazy. It's like a big soap opera, the worst one you could possibly write. In fact, if you wrote it and put it on TV, I'm pretty sure nobody would believe it. They wouldn't even watch it. It's so crazy. But our patriarchs, they did the nuttiest stuff. They were murderers. Their kids murdered tons of people. They had issues with lust and issues with adultery and issues with everything their families did. They were an absolute mess. The kids sold one of their brothers into slavery. I mean, that doesn't seem like a good thing. Like, it was crazy. And as I listened chapter after chapter after chapter, all I could think is God used these crazy guys with these crazy families to build and to make the way for Jesus to come, for our sins to be forgiven. It was all a part of this plan. And he didn't use perfect, awesome, the best people in the world. He used people that just were willing to at least try. And sometimes when you really look at it, you're like, their trying was not that good, especially their kids. Like, what in the world? Lying about whether it was their wife or their sister or, like, just it continues on. And the Word of God is so great, because God can use every single one of us, because he's shown us the worst things. Paul, the Apostle Paul, who was a terrorist against Christians, if you boil it down, he killed Christians. He wrote half the New Testament. He was an amazing man of God, but it's not because he was perfect. And today, before we even jump into the Word, I want you to hear that and you to know that. If you come in discouraged, or if you come in downtrodden, you just don't know what to do, or you know you blew it this week, guess what? God just has his arms open to you. God says, come to me. I love you. I care for you. I've got the best in store for you. Maybe you're here today and church is not your normal thing. You don't normally do church. Maybe Jesus, Christian stuff. In fact, you don't even know why you're here. And I encourage you. I believe, and we're going to talk this morning, that the Word of God, it's quick, it's active, it's powerful. And I believe that if we, every one of us in this room, open our hearts to God, I believe he will speak directly to you. I believe he will show you something, he will reveal himself to you, and something you thought was impossible before you came in today. I believe in 30 minutes, 45 minutes, when we walk out of here, it will look completely different, because that is the Word of God. That's the power of God in our lives. And Scott, he said something that I thought was so just perfect. He said, you know, you don't know how much of an impact you make, especially when the kids might be running away, or when, I remember many years ago, I was there and I had a kid named Carl, and when we were at Camp Lazarus, there was the lodges or the dorms, they were rough, but we were in them. Then now we have air conditioning, it's so much nicer. But there was a cliff right behind them, and so my kid, he always wanted to say, I'm going to go run off this cliff. I'm going to go run, so you would literally have to hold him. And you know what? I believe with all my heart that there's going to be a day when I'm going to be in heaven with Carl, and Carl's going to be in heaven because Royal Family Kids Camp. Steve, you guys, you bring in this ministry. John, the team, because we've got to be able to pour in, and every single one of those kids have the Word in them now. And the Word changes everything. The Word makes all the difference. Today we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 4. And I'm just going to read Hebrews 4, 11 through 13. It says, let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing or division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. and no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. These scriptures, I think, is so powerful. That number 12 in there, the word of God, is quick and powerful. And before we jump and break these down, I want to jump into Ephesians. Ephesians 6:17. Ephesians 6 is the, it talks about the armor of God. And this week I was listening to a sermon, and the pastor said that his goal is to send home Tupperware containers with you that you can take and you can open them up and you can look into the word yourself. Right? Because that's what where it's powerful, is seeing what God would say. And I encourage you this week, Ephesians 6, check it out. Look into the armor of God. Maybe you've never heard about it before, or maybe it's something you know well. Re-look at that. Look at how it applies to your life. What happens when you get the armor of God and when you apply it and you live in it? But verse 17 says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And when we think of the word of God, when we think of a sword, maybe we could think of them very closely together, just like it does in the Bible. Maybe when you think of a sword, you think of a big, long sword, like that's as tall as you, like huge. Or maybe you think of Goliath in the Bible, you think of his sword, and it's like David could hardly pick that thing up to cut Goliath's head off, right? Maybe you think of a big sword. In fact, when I went to Germany on a missions trip, I'm not sure why when you're kids you always want to buy weapons and bring them home, but for some reason you do, and it's just what we did. So I bought this sword that was huge, right? Heather, she was there. Everyone's buying weapons and buying all this crazy stuff. Now, what do you do with a weapon when you get at home that you can't do anything with? It just sits there and gets rusty somehow, and it's like, well, that was good. But I remember buying this sword, and I would hold this sword. I was like, can you imagine actually fighting somebody with this sword? It's heavy. Like, to move it, I was not strong enough. So you're like, you'd have to be like whole body, like way too heavy. So to imagine soldiers fighting with that sort of sword, just crazy. Well, in Ephesians 6, we find that the word that they use for the word here is not logos, which would be the normal word or the normal sword, but that they use the word rhema. And when you think of this, why might this matter? Because when you think of the word rhema, when you think of what we experience in Hebrews 4:12, the word is living and active. It's quick, it's powerful. That the logos word of God and the rhema word of God, they're a little bit different. The rhema word of God is something that would be quick, something that wouldn't be a huge sword, but it would be more like a dagger. It'd be more like something that you could easily hold, you could easily wield, you could easily stab, you could easily move around. It's quick, it's active, it's sharp. It's something that is easy to wield, but it's also something that makes a huge impact. The Romans, back in their day, they were masters at warfare. They knew what they were doing. And in fact, the history would say that they would practice at least twice a day when it came to being a soldier. They were athletes. Because if you're fighting with a sword, you better be an athlete. You better have some quickness to you. You better know what you are doing. Flavius, a guy who lived around 380, documented the affairs of the Roman military. Said he didn't use big swords, but they used a small sword because they understood that if you hit someone with a sword, right? If you hit them with a sword and you cut her on her arm, which I would never do, but you can cut someone's arm and you can survive that, generally speaking. If you don't get infected normally, or if they don't hit a certain artery or something, you can survive a cut on your arm. In fact, many of you from something have been cut on your arm. Many of you have had something where you ran into something, you cut yourself, or where whatever took place, right? But if you get stabbed by a sword, I wish I had a sword so this would be even better, but I'm just kidding. But, he's got a knife right there. This is all that you would need. If you have a sword and you stab someone, generally a 2-inch stab wound pretty much finishes you off. Pretty much, that's not going to be good at any place around where there's vital organs. A 2-inch stab, that person is going to die because you hit the right thing and it's not going to be good. So you don't need this big, huge sword. It's not about this big plodding thing, but the rhema word of God. It's quick. It's something that is the stab. It's something where the word of God, it is with the defining nature. It knows where to go. It knows what it's doing. It's like a surgeon who is so intricate and precise. The Word of God is intricate. The Word of God knows your situation. And it's not like throwing a whole bunch of words over your life, but it's throwing a word to your situation, to what you need today. The Word of God knows you. The Word of God, our Savior and our Lord, the Word speaks directly to what's going on in your life. You don't have to take what somebody else needs or what somebody else got. You can take the Word for you. You can take the Word and let it change you. You can take the Word and let it touch the situation that you don't know is coming tomorrow morning. But tomorrow morning, the Word of God will be precise for you. The Word of God. It's so amazing. The Word of God moves and speaks and makes a difference. Now today, when we jump back to Hebrews chapter 4, I thought about what would I want to title this? How would I want to kind of, what would be the point of this message? And I rested on something that maybe you could even count as negative almost, but is found out by the Word. The Word of God, and the Word that was given this morning that was so powerful. The Word of God is not something that doesn't know where we are. It's not something that God knows us. He knows us. He's flowing through our veins. He loves us. He cares for us. We cannot be hidden from God. He has found us out. The Word finds us out. The Word is powerful. There's no hiding from Him. There's no getting away from Him. The Word, He knows you. It's so powerful. And when we think about being found out by something, generally we might think that as more of a negative situation. We might think of it, we did something and now we were found out. We messed up or we did something that we shouldn't have done. When we come to the Word of God, there's times when we might be found out in a way like my sin. But He finds us in our hurt. He finds us in our struggle. He finds us when we don't know what to do. He finds us. He finds us. And He moves in our life. Today we're going to look at three areas in these three verses. Rest, believe, and being found. The first in verse 11, let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. With our children, it seems so simple to be obedient. Like as a parent, it seems so simple. We try to make it very clear exactly what our children can do, right? We tell them, you need to stand up, go to the fridge, get the milk, come back and put the milk on the table. Like that seems, does that seem easy, Pastor Matt? It shouldn't be that hard. But somehow, between getting off their chair and on the ground, they completely forget what you just told them to do, and they go do something else. Then you're like, what's so difficult? Why is it so hard to simply go and do the little act? Or another thing this week, and I don't think any of my kids are in here, so don't tell them that I told you, but our kids have their iPads, and they have Netflix on their iPads, and we love Netflix, we love our TV, all that stuff, because you can see what they're watching, and you can look at it, and it's really helpful. So Rachel goes downstairs, and she says, what have you been watching? Like, they look guilty. So they said one thing, and so she went and finds out that they were watching something else, which thankfully our kids, when they watch something they shouldn't, they're then watching a show that every other parent in the world would let their kid watch, but we just are really strict. So we don't want them watching anything besides like a few shows, and that's all they can watch unless they're with us because it seems safe. It seems good. But it was like, what do we not understand about you have to watch these things? What do we not understand about if you do watch something that's outside of obedience, then you no longer have your iPad, and we take it from you, and you can't watch anything? How is it that in our sin nature and our human nature and our whatever, that we don't understand to just walk in obedience with God? In this chapter, they've been struggling and they've been talking, and the writer has been telling them to rest. And when we're in Jesus, that true rest comes upon us. When we're in Jesus, that we can walk in a different manner, that we won't get out of obedience, or we won't walk into disobedience. But the rest comes when we give up control of ourselves, when we offer ourselves to Jesus and we say, Lord, I'm going to walk in your wisdom. I'm going to walk in the power and the strength of your word. I'm going to walk in the power of who you are and what you are and what you speak and how you move instead of my own understanding. Because when I do it myself, I mess up. When I do it myself, I get off course. When I do it myself, I all of a sudden find myself far apart from the Word of God. But when I walk in Him, when I walk in obedience to Him, then strength rises within me. A power rises within me. that is lasting, that gives me rest. Don't fall into disobedience, but fall into rest. There's a lasting rest found through faith. The rest is there, but God is going to give us the choice. Am I going to take the step into his rest, into his faith, into his word, or not? I love that it says, let us therefore strive to enter. It's not something that we just passively will do. We're not going to simply walk in the rest of God because we think it would be a good idea. We're going to walk in the rest of God because we make choices to do what God has called us to do. When it comes to my kids, they're going to be in obedience because they choose when something else comes on. I'm not going to go and watch that. I'm going to do what I've been asked to do. It's a choice that we have to make. If you live with anyone in the room, you realize that there's times where it's your choice. Am I going to honor my spouse or my parent, or am I not? It's a choice that we make to strive to walk in obedience. You have to work at it. You've got to do it. You've got to step into what God has. And rest, it comes when we're obedient. We're obedient to God, and that obedience turns to strength. Rest, it comes through closeness with the Word. Found out by the Word. We want to rest in Him. But the second thing is that we need to believe. And as I've been going through this week and looking into the Word and looking and studying and reading, there's something that it just comes to my mind over and over and over again. It's great to say, yes, I can find rest and obedience, and that leads to strength. And I think most of us in the room would agree that, yes, I agree. But I think in my own life, the disconnect can come is, do I truthfully believe that everything I read in the Word is the Word of God? Do I really believe and let what His Word says, every word of it, change me and make me new? Do I really let it guide me? Do I really let it put me where I should be and take me to where I should go? Because when I believe the Word, when I believe it actually is the Word, it makes all the difference. This week, as I've been praying, I just feel strong that there's people in the room that you believe it with your heart. You believe it, but that you're struggling to live it out. You're struggling to believe and let your belief turn into action. You're struggling to really be able to say, I know that every word is His inspired word, but now I've got to let it make a difference in who I am. I've got to let it change me. I've got to let my faith rise. I've got to let my desires change. I've got to let even what I believe is possible change, because it's His word. I believe it, and because I believe it, I'm going to live differently. I'm going to act it out. Verse 12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. Discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. I love soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Every part of who we are, the word of God is quicker, it's faster, it knows. It pierces all of those areas. And I believe that God would speak to us, that God would beg us, that God would speak through Tammy Wilson coming and giving a word, that his spirit, his word, his life is flowing through you. He knows you, he loves you, and he wants you to step into a new and a fuller relationship. And it doesn't matter if you've walked with God your whole entire life, or if this is your very first day coming to a church. He wants me to take a step deeper into the things that he has, so I can walk in him and know him and walk in a greater level of obedience and a greater level of strength, a greater level of just simply believing and walking in relationship with Jesus. When we submit ourselves to the word of God, to believing of who he is and what he's done for us, it's far more than intellectual knowledge. It's far more than just getting some words in our mind. It's far more than kids in JBQ or TBQ studying and learning and memorizing and being able to to answer a question and buzz in on a buzzer. The Word of God, it's ministry to us. The Word of God meets us. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit makes it real and active and powerful. And do we believe it? Do we believe it in a way that it changes how we live? And that's what it all boils down to. The next few weeks here at Radiant Life Church are going to be, I would say, crazy. If you're not a big fan of change, hold in there. It's going to be great, because we're about to get a new sound system. This week, next week, can you come in here? These white speakers, they're all going to be gone. We're going to have some new speakers in here. We're going to have a whole new system. And if you're like, why would we want to do that? This is the reason why. Because now the whole room is going to sound the same. It's going to be good, clean sound. Instead of really hot spots or loud spots and quieter spots, We also, this is really cool, are putting sound panels all along the back wall, lower and upper, which means instead of hearing, hear how long you hear that, like bouncing off 12 times or more is what the pros say, you're going to only hear it 3 times, which means you don't really hear it. That's the number you want to get to. Why are we doing these things? Why are we going to have change, and why are we going to have new screens coming in a few weeks? We just got our new projectors in on Friday, and the lens come on Monday. We'll see when those get installed. Why are we doing that? Why are we having a new building on the other side? Why? Or what's that all mean? I can tell you what matters the most is that the Word of God is quick and active. And it doesn't matter the projector or the screen or the sound system, although I am super excited about all of those things, like really excited. Some young adults right here are shaking their head too, like, yeah, we're excited. We believe that those things are going to get somebody else in this building. But then the Word of God has to be real and active, and we've got to believe the Word of God because this is what it is all about. None of the other stuff matters, truthfully, including who, whether it's dad or myself or someone else as a lead pastor at a church, that really doesn't matter. But what really matters is the Word of God is quick and powerful and active. The Word of God is real. The Word of God wants to move in your heart and move in your life. And today, if you need Him to touch you or to speak to you or to show Himself to you, the Word of God is here. The Word of God. And all you have to do is dig in. Jump into what His Word would say. Let it become real. Believe His words and apply them and make them change who you are. The Word of God, it brings true health, fruitfulness, prosperity, and success to what we do. God's Word has healing power and power to bring deliverance from oppression. God's Word cleanses us. God's Word hidden in our hearts keeps us from sin. God's Word is a counselor. His Word is a source of strength. It imparts life. Is a source of illumination and guidance. His Word gives peace. The Word of God has power and authority over demonic powers. Jesus himself is described as the Word who became flesh. When we enter into the Word, we are entering into Jesus. God's Word is the means to sanctification. His Word builds faith. His Word, in holding fast to it, gives assurance of our salvation. The Word of God works effectively in those who believe. The Word of God sanctifies the very food we eat. The Word of God is the Christian source of spiritual growth. The Word of God is everything when we believe it and we apply it and we put it in ourselves. The Word of God simply is the answer to every problem that you have. But we have to believe it enough to open the Word. We've got to believe it enough to get the Word in us and apply it to our life. We've got to let the Word find us out because we're applying it and putting it in. The Word of God is everything. And I love Radiant Life Church because for the 33 or 34 years that I've been alive, this is what we get. Every Sunday morning, we've got life classes. Why do we have life classes? Not because we want to do one more thing, but because we believe there's power in the Word, and we're going to study the Word, and we're going to get in the Word, and we're going to let it change us. September 9th, Foundations begins a new cycle and other classes. I would encourage you to come on September 9th to get involved, to come and be a part of what we're doing, because the Word is going to be taught. The Word is going to be preached. But I encourage you before September 9th, this afternoon, tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, would you open your Word? Would you listen to your Word? Would you let the Word be made real and active because you believe it, you desire it, you want to experience it? Let the Word change who you are. The inspired Word of God is your answer, an answer to every need that we would have. The inspired Word of God, it's everything. In a time when our culture would want to speak maybe against the Word, or not even maybe, just wants to speak straight against the Word. When the Bible wants to say that what the Word would say isn't even right, or even that it is against culture, it's just a negative thing. Stand upon the Word, because the Word is truth. The Word overtrumps my desires. It overcomes what I want. It overcomes my culture. The Word of God, it's everything. Believe it. Own it. Put it inside of you. This morning, we can rest in His Word. We can believe in His Word, and we can be found in His Word. There's no way to hide. Verse 13 says, "And no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." There's no way to hide. It says all are naked and exposed. And when I think of this, I think of Adam and Eve. I think of them in the garden. These two people with no sin in the world, with things being holy and right and perfect and as they should be. Adam and Eve get a walk around the garden, and they don't do clothes. They don't have clothes. Why? Because they didn't even know there was why. Like, what would be the point of clothes? There was no lust. There was no sin. There was no issue when it came to that. So they didn't need clothes. That when we are before God, that is what we are. He open book to God. He sees us. He knows us. He knows every single part about who you are. And therefore, our rest and our belief, we can know he has found us. There's nothing that hides us. There's nothing that separates us from who he is. It also means that we know that we're going to give account for how we respond to his word. We're going to give account to how we respond, to how we jump into his word. In fact, the word exposed says all are naked and exposed. That word, or open, it translates an ancient Greek word used only here in the New Testament. It was used of wrestlers who had a hold that involved gripping the neck so powerfully that it brought victory. And I believe that that is God's love for us today. That God, if you feel far from God, God is holding you. God doesn't want to let you go. God doesn't want to let you anywhere outside of him and of his will. But today it's our choice. Are we going to let God hold on to us? Are we going to let God find us? Are we going to let God move us? Are we going to let God bring us into himself and change the way that we live, the way that we act, the way that we think? There's nothing, nothing greater than being found by God. Pastor Matt and the team, if you guys would come on up here. I believe that today God wants to do something in every single person in this room. Some of you, you could say, and you could say with all honesty, that you read the word. You get into the word. You devour the word. You let the word change you. Let the word do those things. And some of you, you would be real and honest with yourself. And you know, you just struggle. When it comes to the word, you struggle to stay consistent. You struggle to get in it. You struggle to let it impact you. You struggle to let it change who you are. And I would encourage you, if you think of the number one thing, if you are the devil and you want to do one thing, what would be the number one thing that my goal would be if I'm the devil? It'd be to put a wedge between you and this book. Because when we don't get this book in us, when we don't let it change us, when we don't let it move us, then I feel pretty safe that we're not going to make too big of an impact. I know in my life, if I'm not in the word, my impact is hurt. I mean, there's no other way to look at it. My parenting is worse if I'm not consistently in the word. How I perform at my job is completely different if I'm not in the word. The word of God. He wants to speak. He wants to move in you. There's nothing greater than being found by God. And today, I pray that every single one of us in this room, whether you're consistently in the word or whether you're not, today I pray that you would ask God once again, Lord, would you show me? Lord, would you let your word move in me to another place, to another level? I don't know how many years, Dad, have you read through the Bible? 45 straight years he's read through that Bible. And guess what? I know my dad, and he wants 45 and 46. He wants to get new and more powerful and new things out of the word. And guess what? The word, it doesn't run out of good stuff after 45 years. The word of God, he wants it to be more and more and more real in his life. And I pray that every single person in this room, that is our hope. It's our dream. It's what we desire. And it's not only a dream that we look to, but it's something we act on and that we make happen. It's something that we strive for. It's something that we enter into his rest, because the word is real within us. I pray every one of us would step into that place. If you are here today and you, as I've been talking, you realize and you would say, I think I'm far from God, and I didn't even know maybe before you came in here, but you say, I think that I need to commit myself once again to loving his word, to loving Jesus. I need to commit myself one more time to walking with him, to being with him. And you would say, I think I've missed it. You might even be serving. You might even be doing good things. You might not be walking in some crazy sin. You say, you know what? My personal relationship with the Father in heaven doesn't seem to be where it is. I'd encourage you today, don't leave this room before you say, God, I'm one more time. I'm 100% in, and I'm going to get in your word. I'm going to let it change me. I'm going to let it move me and let it mold me. There may be one last group that you'd say, I came in this room, and I don't follow Jesus. I don't serve Jesus. I'm not in his word because why would I be? I don't serve him. But as you've been sitting here, you've felt the word speak to you. You felt the word speak to your heart. You felt the word just tugging or knocking on your heart. And you'd say, this is crazy. I never would have thought coming in this morning. But right now you'd say, I want this. I want Jesus. I want to know him. I want to walk in him. I want his rest. I want to believe like you've been talking about. I want to be found out by my creator. And you've realized in this time that he's your creator. But all you have to do is say, Lord, would you forgive me? Lord, would you make me new? Lord, let your word become real to me. If you're rededicating or you're just recommitting yourself to his word, all you have to do is ask him, Lord, would you show me yourself once again? Lord, let your word become real. Let it be powerful. For every single one in the room, every single person, can we say, Lord, would you help me? Help me not to neglect your word. Help me not to neglect your truth. Help me not to neglect what you have and what you want to say and how you want to move. And I believe today he's here. His arms are big and wide, and he wants to love on you. He wants to pour his spirit into you. And that word of God that is quick and active, living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart, he's here for you. If you need to turn something over to him, something maybe you're doing that you know you shouldn't be, or maybe you just want God to challenge you. You want God to pour himself out one more time. You need another dose. And I'm going to ask, would all of us, if we could we just stand? And I want to pray for you. So Lord, right now I pray for each person in this room. Lord, I pray that you would show your spirit to them, that you would move through your word. Lord, that your word would be quick and active right now. Lord, in each one of our hearts, to reveal things maybe that we need to change, to show us new wisdom, new guidance, new direction. Lord, that you would show us your spirit. And Lord, as we close this time out, as we come around your communion table, as we come around and just think of you and what you've done, Jesus, the Word who became flesh, would you speak to each of us today? Show us your heart. Show us your will. Show us your way. Lord, where miracles are needed, God, I pray that right now your miracle power, your miracle touch would flow through each and every person. That blood that you flow through our veins, God, would you make us new and make us whole? Lord, where we need our mouth to be made new, where we need to watch what we say or watch what we do or watch how we act, Lord, I pray that right now you'd give us another dose of your spirit to help us overcome. Lord, maybe where we've been hurt, where we've been abused, or we've been, whatever has happened in the past, God, I pray that right now you would wash us clean. Lord, you would show us that you were there with us. You were stepping with us. You were guiding us even in the worst moments. Lord, we worship you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your word, Jesus. You are so good. We worship you. We praise you. Thank you for accepting each and every one of us today. It's in your name we pray. Amen.